Good evening. The time is 6:30. You've been listening to the Alaska Public Radio Network over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. We're going to jump back into local programming. Good evening, everybody. I'm Robert Woolsey, news director here at Raven Radio, and I'm joined by Sitka School District Superintendent Mary Wegner, District Business Manager Cassie Olin, Board President Tim Fulton, Board Member Tom Conley. And our telephone lines are open, 747-5877. This is a live school board budget hearing, and the Sitka School Board would like to hear from you. This is part of a process that will be going now through about the last week of April when your budget is finalized, but there is some work to be done. Again, you can put a call in to us here at 747-5877 if you'd like to address a budget matter with the Sitka School Board. You can also go online to the Raven Radio Facebook page and post a question on our special programming thread. It's pinned up at the top of the page. You can email a question to news@kcaw.org. And we're going to be talking about actual budget dollars and cents a little bit tonight. And if you're worried about getting lost in all those numbers, you can go online to kcaw.org. And we have links to all the documents that, or most of the documents that we're talking about tonight, mainly the preliminary 2017 operating budget for the Sitka School District. We were talking a little bit before we went on the air that if you're a regular listener to Raven Radio, you've heard school board candidates on the air in this kind of forum. But this is an actual live budget hearing. It's quite a bit different than our candidate forums. I'm not the reporter here to interview the school board or the superintendent. This is where your input matters most. And before we dive into the numbers, I just wanted to frame the budget in the simplest terms possible, if that's okay with you, Tim. And it's sort of based on my perspective from the budget hearing the other night. I gather the budget deficit, projected budget deficit, is $1.6 million. This is not unusual. You often enter the budget process with this kind of shortfall. You have $2 million in the bank. And some assumptions are the city will contribute the same amount of funding as last year, and the state will increase the base student allocation this year. Those are factored in. And you have a hope that the district will be able to join a district-wide or a city-wide insurance pool that could save you about $800,000. Is that correct, Mary?
We currently are in an insurance pool with the City of Sitka and the Community Hospital. So we are currently in rate increase negotiations, and that first initial increase of 25% may be significantly less, but that is not yet confirmed.
Okay, so that's...
And about half of the budget deficit we have, or about $800,000, was the planned insurance increase.
Okay.
So that would be a great benefit to us.
Yeah, so that number's in play. And again, people who followed the district budget in the past know that sometimes Secure Rural Schools, which is a federal funding program, has rolled in and kind of saved the day. And that's considered sort of unlikely at this point. And also last year, the city came in with $1 million to help make ends meet. And none of us can really speak for the assembly or the city government, but that appears unlikely as well, because the city is in a deficit problem as well. And that's sort of my response to what I've heard going to your meetings, that $1.6 million deficit, yet there is money to cover it if you want to go into savings, but it's really not that easy. So this is... I guess my first question, and maybe the question on the minds of everybody listening tonight, is what's really on the table in this year's budget discussion? I mean, last year, community schools was cut or outsourced to a private contractor, and some programs have been cut in the past, like home economics in the middle school, the Baranoff reading tutor program. There have been actual cuts made, and is this, Tim, is 2017 going to be a cutting year? Is this something that people should be paying close attention to?
Well, I guess I would just back up here a little bit from my perspective. What we're doing with this is this new process here going on the radio and talking about our budget. But it isn't something that we haven't done. We encourage conversations with our staff, with the community, to bring ideas and conversations to us. And that's what we're doing now, is we're gathering information, trying to have a conversation with the community about what's important, what shouldn't be cut, what could be cut, and all of the input that we can get from them to move into the steps where we say, okay, to our administration, this is important to us. You know, we want to keep funding for activities going, or we want to keep this based on what the input we're getting from the community as to what's important. So we're in the information gathering stage, and we're encouraging people to talk to the board and call in tonight and let us know what their thoughts are so we can make informed decisions. As an elected official, that's what I feel that Tom and I and the rest of the board have been elected to do, is represent what Sitka feels is important for its community and the school.
Okay, so let's keep that in mind. I did want to ask you, Mary, and actually all of you, so somebody comes up to you in the grocery store and says, I heard on Raven Radio that you have a $1.6 million deficit, but you have $2 million in the bank. What's the problem? How do you react to that?
Well, some of this I'm going to turn to Cassie because she knows the actual number. There's a certain amount of money that we have to keep in our bank, or we can't pay our bills. And that's a significant amount of money. Cassie, what would you estimate that to be?
That usually ranges about $600,000 to $700,000 is a comfortable range for to have that number down to. It's majority of it has to do with cash flow in order to get payroll out every month or every other semi-annual or semi-monthly that we do, and then also just paying our normal bills, our electric bills, our you know, food that comes in for food service, things like that.
So I just want to also make one kind of clarification, is when we say flat funding from the city is our assumption that we've been talking about in our budget hearings today, that includes the additional $1 million that was given to us last year to save 10 teaching positions.
Okay, so the extra $1 million last year has now been just folded into the expectation for this year.
Yeah, we're very hopeful, and we're very thankful that the assembly did that last year, because it did make a difference. You know, we are basically a new board. This is my first year as being president. We have two new members on the board. So there's, in answer to your question about at the frozen food aisle at the local grocery store, somebody's asking what the issue is we have lost, you know, we lost some teachers last year. We would like to get some of those back. We have not reached the point on technology where we wanted to be several years back when we set the line item for that. Activities is always something that we could do. There's other issues out there other than just the quick assumptions that we were talking about.
Okay, great. We have our first caller on the line. Ed, thank you for your patience. Ed, thank you for your patience. You're with the school board. Ed, are you there? Sorry, that might be my bad. All right, we'll try and get to Ed in just a second. Yeah, the number to call is 747-5877. And I hope our technology hangs with us. Ed, are you there? Oh, now you're there. Ed, hello. Yeah, we can hear you now. Sorry.
Yeah, it's coming real scratchy, but yeah. So I'm a parent in the school district and ran for the school board last year, and so you know I'd like to speak to the budget process. I've attended budget meetings for past 12 years, and I discussed with Tim last year that you know there seemed to be a real lack. A real lack of transparency in the process, and just a lack of confidence in the budget process itself. And like I said, I've been attending these budget meetings for 12 years and ran for school board, so I've had an interest and a stake, and So I didn't go to the first meeting this year because, I wasn't satisfied that any of my questions were answered last year. And so I kind of let it go, but I'd like to hear a little bit about, you know, how they're dealing with the transparency and accuracy issues. And then secondly, something I've campaigned on for a while is the AMP testing. Now, the AMP test is a dead test. We all know that. And the district is going to pay $108 per student to take a test that's corrupted, that we know is corrupted. So we're essentially throwing away over $1 million on a test that we know is corrupted. We don't have to do that. I know the administrators are going to say there's consequences, but the fact is there is no consequence. So the parents of Sitka, we can make up this budget tonight. If the parents opt their children out of the test, their child, it'll save the district $108. And if the parents take charge of this and we do this, then we can fix this budget problem in the short term for this year. And then going on to the long term, there's technology commitments that have been made that are, they're not sustainable. They're unaffordable. They're unsustainable. And we're looking at next November, we're going to have possibly a new president who's going to repeal and replace Common Core. So all those funds are going to be lost. So in the long term, we need some spending that's being done that's unnecessary. But let's just remember, we spent our way into this, all right? This administration, this school board spent our way into this deficit. And so, we just need to make better decisions. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for your input, Ed. School board, I believe Ed had two questions. One was on transparency and one was on AMP testing. And I'm going to repeat some questions for the benefit of our television audience, which can't hear our phone call audio. This was a call from former school board candidate Ed Gray. Transparency in the board's budget process and AMP testing. Are we throwing away money on a test that is dead in the water?
Okay. Well, thank you, Ed, for your call. And, you and I have disagreed on many things, but one of them that we didn't disagree with is the transparency piece of it. And this radio call-in is definitely one of the pieces that we're trying to do. The actual budget work sessions this year have been different. We're trying to address the transparency and have open, honest communications. Going to board meetings and budget cycle for 12 years, you know that each board comes in with a little bit different, and we're working really hard for that transparency and to have open, honest, courageous conversations, as Ms. Pook would say, and open to that. So we're trying to listen to that and make that happen. On the other piece, I'm not sure where the figure of $108 for students coming in. I would love to know how that's being calculated and how. From the research that I've done, there are consequences for not taking the test, and those consequences are to our staff. And you can go to the Ethical Standards Commission, and that's one of the things for being licensed that they require our teachers and our administrators to do is to follow those rules. So those consequences are there. From everything that I've looked into and gathered, that is part of what's there.
So. Do you mind if I ask the question to the administrators about, is there a financial burden associated with taking AMP testing on a...
There is no cost to the district per student to take the AMP test. I don't know where Ed got that information, but that is not accurate. So far, we have looked into it. We've spent $330 on testing this year, and that wasn't even for the AMP. It was for our English as a Second Language students. And so it the $1 million is just not accurate.
The number to call is 747-5877. You can email a question to news@kcaw.org, or you can post a question on our Facebook thread, which Lorna has done. She asks, such a small town, why do we have such a large deficit in our school district?
Well, that's a very good question. Part of it goes back to what we were talking about with the insurance rates, and that's a big piece of it. And each year our negotiated contracts bring in additional revenue or outflows that we need to deal with. So I don't know. Anybody else have anything to add to that?
Tom, you have an idea?
Everything that we do is expensive. Teacher salaries, as you mentioned, and technology is expensive, both in terms of equipment and also in terms of software. And our costs for running the district on a day-to-day basis for supplies and for heat and for utilities, et cetera, is all very expensive. Insurance, as Tim was saying, is something that has crept up over the years. Unemployment, taxes increase. Essentially everything has increased. And what to say that we're a small town and it shouldn't cost so much, look at your own budget and you'll find that you are indeed paying more for everything.
Mary?
I just want to make comment that our teachers and our support staff are working with us very closely. Yeah. They are very well aware of the state and the city financial. They are not asking unreasonable requests by any means, and they're a real partner with us. So half of that, as Tim mentioned, half of that deficit is insurance, health insurance increase, which we are working on reducing. The rest, as Tom was saying, is related to just cost increases. Our current budget process takes everything and rolls it over and assumes an inflation. Our contracts cost more. Everything costs more. Utilities, we know, cost more. Cassie, is there anything else that you'd like to add to that?
The only thing I would add is that a lot of our is done by the Consumer Price Index based out of Anchorage. So anyway, it ranges year to year based off that. And some years it's been up to close to 4%. Some years it's down to 0.5%. But all of our products to get here, the barging, the shipping, and that kind of adds to the inflation of our goods to get here.
And I also want to add that last year, Cassie and I looked through every line item of our non-personnel budget and looked at 4 years of history and made some significant cuts to the budget. $500,000 in total were saved. That's $500,000 in savings. And in our audit, it proves that we lived those reductions. We are doing our due diligence. We are not increasing any line item as far as technology took a $50,000 cut. We are experiencing the negative consequences of that this year. However, we did not add in the additional, add back in that $50,000. We are maintaining the cuts that we took last year as part of our due diligence and to be fiscally responsible with our funds.
And it should also be pointed out that it's much more expensive to run a school or any other business in Sitka as compared to Anchorage or compared to Seattle. And whenever we have a technical problem that needs an expert to come and consult with us, we have to pay for transportation from Anchorage to Sitka and back, and frequently overnight stays. It's an example of why it's more expensive.
All right.
Just one last thought. Last year we had a $3.3 million expected deficit. So we're doing good this year.
Yeah, when the process started, I do remember the number was much larger. I also just wanted to toss out an idea, and maybe Dan Edelin, who's here, who's filming this for television, might shake his head or nod, or if he agrees with me. But I seem to remember I'm getting to the point where I have institutional memory about Sitka, and our town population has remained stable. But I think our district used to be much larger. We have 1,300 students now, and there was a time when it was 1,700 and in the 2,000 range, or no, 1,700, Dan saying 1,700, and that's a significant difference. I mean, 400 is like the equivalent of an elementary school, And that's a factor that the number of school children is just down in Sitka.
Yeah, we actually, Cassie and I spent quite a bit of time last year looking at a 10-year history of enrollment and expenditure data. And we when the pulp mill went out, we lost a lot of students. We are at, though, we are trending at a 1% increase overall, looking at the last couple of years.
Yeah, stable and slightly increasing. Again, the number to call is 747-5877. You can also email us at news@kcaw.org. And you can also post a question on our Facebook thread. This is a live school board budget hearing. It's an actual part of the school board budget process. The comments and input you give tonight will be folded into the entire process that will be used to create the school board's budget for next year. We have this from emailer who would like to remain anonymous, and I suppose that's fine. She wants to remain anonymous. Could the school district be put on Obamacare? I think that's supposed to be free or cheaper. Cassie, you're kind of frowning over there.
In regards to Obamacare, due to our negotiated agreements that we have with our unions, we currently have to remain at the same amount of benefits that we are offering in order to do that, and the cost that our employees would have to incur to get the same amount at Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act would be a significant cost for our employees based off of what we're currently offering them. And our negotiated agreements kind of lock us into offering a fully insured insurance plan, I guess is the best way to say it.
All right. So no on Obamacare from...
good question, though. I love that thinking.
I do... we have another email question I received earlier. We might be able to spin this together a little bit. This is from Charles, who wrote me earlier today. A recent study conducted by the University of Alaska Anchorage's Center for Alaska Education Policy Research found that Sitka is one of the three Alaska school districts wherein teachers are overpaid. Will the school board bring this information to bear in future teacher contract negotiations?
I would like to address that, if I could. That study, basically, we were 1% within what the study expected we would be. Our teachers should be paid, which means that we have actually been paying our teachers appropriately throughout the time. But again, I just want to reiterate that our teachers are very much a partner with us in the current budget deficit and have not asked unreasonable things of us in the current contract negotiations.
Okay. I have one sort of follow-up question. I promise not to be the reporter, but I can't help myself. Is it, I probably agree in principle, just as a citizen, that our teachers aren't overpaid. I mean, there's just a cost for professional services in any community, and teachers, professional educators fall into a class of paid professional. But I do wonder if it's unreasonable for to expect the union to have increases annually when we are having trouble making ends meet. I mean, is it possible to negotiate with the union oil prices have never been lower in recent memory. Does this give you any kind of traction in negotiations?
We have reached tentative agreement with the teachers union, and I am not at liberty at this moment in time to say what that is. But all I can say is the teachers are very much a partner with us and did not make any unrealistic expectation. I personally did not ask for a raise this year myself. And we came from our support staff a negotiated agreement meeting earlier today, and that is still not yet wrapped up. However, again, all of our staff they're asking very reasonable, we're having very reasonable conversations and negotiations. There are no unreasonable demands or requests. Everybody understands the situation that we're dealing with. If I could just do one little follow-up from Charles' question. We are very fortunate in Sitka that 27% or 29% of our teachers, I think it's 29% of our teachers are from Sitka. We have longevity in our teachers, and We're very fortunate to have that. Because of that, our teachers continue to move up in their years of experience. Most other school districts do not benefit from that. And so when they have a turnover of new teachers and new teachers and new teachers, the new teachers are paid less. So the study that says we were within 1% of what they would expect our teachers to be paid, that's a tribute to the longevity and dedication of our teaching staff also.
So if I may just follow up here, you were asking, from the board perspective, we spent a lot of time this year in executive session talking about the different options going forward with the crisis that the city finds themselves in and the state finds themselves in, and how to direct the our administration in those contracts. So there has been lots of discussion on what that looks like to find that balance between working with our teachers and our CESPA union to get them something good, but still take into account what is happening out there in reality. So,
all right, we have another caller on the line, Matt. Sorry, thanks for your patience, Matt.
Oh yeah, no problem. Thank you, Rob. So there's a lot I don't understand about the school budget and a lot of things about the school system, as in aids for I don't know, the kids that need help, you know, and I think that's a mandated requirement for state law, but it's an incredible burden on the budget of the school system. And I have two questions, and I'd like to know what part of the school budget is that where kids that, I don't know what the proper term is, kids that are handicapped in some way.
Intensive, I believe, right?
Okay, and how much of the school budget is that? How much does the school system have to pay for that? And the other one is about the Performing Arts Center. Is that, it was my understanding from the finance department of the city that something like $350,000 budget for the Performing Arts Center annually, which comes out of the school budget, and that also that building is not paid off because they refinanced it. So in a case, you know, if the school board and the school system has to face cutting something, don't want them to cut teachers, something's got to go. What's the amount of money that's being spent on the Performing Arts Center, and what's the long-range term of that? How long are we going to be paying for that building? Does that come out of the school budget? Does it come out of the city budget? And I guess that's it. I'll just take the answers off the – I'll get offline. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Matt. All right. So Matt had two questions. Again, I'm going to rephrase for our television audience. This caller was Matt. He had questions about how much we pay for intensive needs students, and does the funding for the Performing Arts Center come out of the school budget, and how long can we sustain that?
Well, thank you, Matt. Those are really good questions. I'll let Cassie get into the numbers for the intensive needs part of this. We do get extra compensation for our intensive needs students. They get 13 times what a normal student does, but sometimes those needs exceed what we're getting from the state. So we do get additional funding. There is extra money that comes in from that, and it's part of our crystal ball piece every year. That's one of the concerns for me, is how many intensive needs are we projecting? Because if you miss by one student, you're actually missing by 13 students. So how about we keep on that thread? Cassie can tell us what the cost is, the average cost for that, and then we'll come back to the pack.
The The special education intensive counts, based off of the numbers that were given for this preliminary budget for FY17, was 36. That ends up being a, out of this budget, it is basically $2.7 million that we receive extra in funding from the state for our intensive need kids, that we use to pay for these extra pairs that we need or the help that they need in their classroom and other services that we provide for them.
And is it revenue neutral, as Tim was suggesting, or does it cost us a little more to provide the services than is covered by the state?
It depends on the year, depends on the child, the children in the system, the intensity of them. So every year is a different scenario, and it's hard saying based off each kid's IEP and what's going on in their situation. Some of them need extra services, such as OT.
Occupational therapy.
Sorry. Physical therapy, speech-language pathology services. So any of those, if a student would need one of those, then obviously the cost would increase due to that service that needed provided for them.
Another factor with the intensive need students, as Tim was mentioning, it is part of the crystal ball calculation that helps to build our budget. But if a student comes to us that are intensive, and to be qualified as intensive means that you have multiple challenges going on and you do need those supports. They're not just every special ed student. It's only a few of our students who receive special education services. But if they come after the count period, we still provide the service even if we don't get any money from the state for them. So it's hard to actually answer Matt's question directly. What does it cost in the budget for those aides? We are required by federal
mandates
to provide what is needed for those students. And we have an amazing special education director in Mandy Evans, and she works very hard to coordinate the schedules as efficiently as possible.
Tom, you had something to add?
I was going to say, years ago, probably 20, 25 years ago, the way that special education was funded was on the basis of what were called units. And it was very much to a district's advantage to have as many people qualified as special education as was possible because you got paid more for it. And they tightened up everything, and indeed it's now an individual thing, and you have to provide very substantial evidence that you need extra funding for the student who's involved. So it's done differently, but done more economically than it was previously.
Do you think it's still equitable?
It seems to be, as far as we can tell. The amount of funding that goes into taking care of a special education student in terms of transportation, extra teaching, supplies, etc., is really quite phenomenal. So.
I might just add that the state did an audit last year of the costs related to funding schools, and in that report it was found that it was pretty equitable around the state, and the school districts around the state felt it was fairly fair.
All right. The time is 2 minutes after 7 o'clock. You're listening to a live school board budget hearing with school board members Tom Connolly, school board president Tim Fulton, district superintendent Mary Wegner, and district business manager Cassie Olin. They're here to take your calls, get your feedback. They're gathering information on how to prepare next year's budget. The district is facing a $1.6 million deficit. A lot of numbers are in play, but everything that they hear from the public is weighted pretty seriously. The number to call is 747-5877. You can also email us news@kcaw.org. You can post a question on our Facebook thread. And Tim, we have a caller who's been waiting here just a little bit. I'm going to put him on, and then we'll
We still need to talk about Matt's question about the PAC.
All right. Let's do the PAC. Sorry, John, you're going to hang on just a little bit longer. Good point. Matt also asked, is the PAC funding sustainable? And does it come out of the district's budget?
Yes, it does.
Some of it does.
It's one of those pieces of that. And we have been having conversations about what we can do about what does come out of our budget. It doesn't make much sense to me to not be able to afford a music teacher when you have the pack there type of thing. So we are trying to figure out different ways that the pack can be more sustainable for itself and not hit the district's budget as much. So we are having those conversations moving forward. We're welcome to any ideas.
Cassie, do you have a hard number for that? What the pack costs the district?
And last year's figures are actually in the current budget year. It's currently estimated at $255,000 to operate the PAC. That includes anything from the water, sewer, garbage, electricity, heat, the fire system inside, and then the property insurance it costs to keep it insured, and then our professional technical services of having someone operate the PAC for us in regards to having a custodial services and also
manager,
lights, technical lighting and sound and all the good stuff that goes with that. So it roughly right now is running about $255,000. Last couple of years it kind of remains right around $200,000 depending on what the weather is and how cold it gets outside. So
yeah.
So it varies because it's a very big area.
The price of fuel.
Sure. And this is where it gets a little tricky in that the city went out. I was not here at the time, so I might not have all the details. But the city went out for a bond to build the Performing Arts Center. And that is the part that the city still has and still manages and that we are still paying on. The school district doesn't control that part of it. We only control the operations part of it. And as Tim said, we are looking at ways to make it more sustainable.
Yeah, the PAC was approved by voters by a very large majority, I remember, because it was a good deal. It was 60% funded by the state, and then there was also a 70% roof replacement bond deal at the same time, and Sitkins
stepped up for that.
Yeah, yeah, they definitely stepped up.
It's definitely amazing.
When we do those kind of things, we don't take into account sometimes the operational side of things.
Well, that was the counter argument at the time, for sure, that it would cost significant money to operate it.
And that's where we're at. So we are asking those questions, so thanks, Matt.
We also, of course, have to consider as we get involved in anything like that what the community wants in terms of services. Where you could ask the same question about the library and the new Centennial Building. In other words, they're add-ons to what we're operating as a community, and whether we want to do that or not. And at least at the time that we were doing the PAC, it looked as though that was an acceptable idea to the city at large.
Yeah, that's why we're here.
It's amazing to be in there and to perform in there.
Yeah. The number to call, 747-5877. John, thank you for your patience. You're on the air with the school board.
Thank you. Thank you, Rob and board. John Stein here. I guess my question, and this is more long-term, I guess, but what thoughts have the board and, I guess, the administration given to consolidating real estate? You mentioned that the school population's been dropped 400 since the peak, and that was equal to roughly a school site. And has there been consideration to consolidating operations in fewer buildings, for instance? And I guess the one that comes to mind is Baranoff, the oldest school, and then converting that to some other purpose or to cash money, that kind of thing. And I don't know whether you have enough room otherwise, but that was my thought. If you looked at the real estate and are we having too many square feet for the functions that's going on at the school district.
Thanks very much for your call, John.
Thank you.
Yes, thanks, John. We could probably take that a little bit further. We just started having that conversation a couple weeks ago is what that is. But right now we look at our classrooms, and I don't know what it was like back when we had 400 more students, but most of the classrooms are being used at our current level of what the past board has decided to do with the PTARs, the pupil-teacher ratios and all that. Our buildings are pretty full. I can't think of a building that has any room that we have to spare at this point.
And I would say at the time that we had 1,700 students in the district, and when I first came to Sitka, it was just after the pulp mill closed, so that was, we had like 1,500 students. There was a big difference in the services we could provide our students. We now have so many amazing community partners that write grants, get funding to provide services to our students, such as our Youth Advocates of Sitka and Sitka Counseling, who are providing support for students with behavior challenges in classes in school. And they need some room, too. So even though all of our rooms, as Tim said, are being used well, and we are at, I don't know of any room that we have available. I think we are at capacity. We may have, you know, maybe one cubbyhole somewhere that we could use. But we also have more people in the services we provide because our community of Sitka is so amazing.
And I'm going to look over at Dan Edelin again about consolidation. I was at a Citizens Task Force meeting, one of their first, over at the Sealing Cove Business Center, and Chairman Rob Allen, a lifetime Sitkan, said it was so funny to be chairing a meeting in the same room that he went to kindergarten in. And that used to be the Mount Edgecombe.
It was the kindergarten building.
It was the kindergarten building, and it was closed and consolidated with Baranoff, I want to say, sometime in the 90s.
That was like the year before I came.
Yeah, so it was a post-mill closure undertaking. But there isn't that sense of surplus right now, I gather.
No, our classes are quite full. Our classrooms are full.
Okay.
We have had conversations about, you know, the hours that are there and you know, so like once again, that our teachers are teaching and how we can be more efficient with those kind of things and still offer the services. So we're open. That's why we're here, is to put this out there for these conversations and get people's input and thoughts. So thank you.
Tom, anything on school consolidation?
No, I think that we are indeed running a pretty much full capacity. We're trying, one of the things that we're charged with is trying to keep student-teacher ratios low, that children do better in class if indeed there are fewer of them for each teacher. And that, and when you work with that, you wind up needing more space. That's, you know, we're probably going to have to be looking at that again this year in a serious way relative to the budget.